Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 408. This is Kevin DeFrango. Back on the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Kevin. How about yourself?
I cannot argue. Things have definitely been worse. They have been better. Just had a nice family get together this past weekend where my sister lives, and that was a good time. And I was actually hoping to drink one of the fine beverages that I bought down in Virginia, but unbeknownst to myself, I did not actually put those beers in the refrigerator as I thought I had. So this episode, I'm drinking a Stunt Granny Brewing Pepper Porter. So I'll have to drink some of my own beer in the meantime here. So worse things have been done. So you know, I'm sure I will enjoy those at some other point, but I just wanted to get the review on air. Man, that would have helped extend our time, because we were talking about how, before we got on air, that the shows were not all that noteworthy this week.
No, not at all. It's seemingly a pattern. Whenever they implement these 2 week European tours where there's a show every 2 weeks straight and they're crisscrossing countries and a different city every night and riding a tour bus like a rock band, you get shows where the wrestlers are just trying to preserve their bodies for another night. Yeah, they, other than crowds trying to entertain themselves and the ring, you really don't get a lot of energy on these Europe shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of strange how they don't go over there much. And I understand wanting to get in all the house shows, but it hurts their on-air product fairly significantly. The one thing I do like about it, and I guess I don't quite understand why they just don't do this on the regular basis, is the shows just seem to flow a little bit better because they're pre-taped in London. It seems like they actually had. I guess it's kind of hard to say for SmackDown just because SmackDown seems to move relatively quick anyway, since it's only 2 hours. But Raw to me always seems to move a little bit smoother on these shows. So I guess I do appreciate that part. There's maybe a little bit more to fast forward through on these shows, but then that sucks
right,
for the
yeah.
it sucks for the live crowd too, though.
Yeah. Well, no. The live crowd's entertaining themselves.
Yeah.
You might as well not put a ring up and have any man.
Yeah, there were a couple of times that the crowds acted up where I'm like, wow, really? Because I think one was a Sasha Banks match, and I'm like, huh, I never saw that one coming. Because I think it was this...
that was a bad match. I mean, it was short, but holy shit, I can't think of it.
Her
in that match at all. She looked really, really bad.
Oh, Yeah, that, yeah, it's never good when I give your match a nothing except for the finish write up. That is usually a perfect sign that it was not a good match. And yeah, Alicia
Yeah,
Fox does
no. And
nothing
Alicia
to.
Fox has been doing.
Oh.
Right, yeah, she's been doing this long enough, and their future for being this bad at this point.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of weird. Like every now and again I think she gets her stuff together, but she doesn't. You know, but
It was yeah, she's clunky, out of place, out of position. Just, yeah, it was not a good night for her. Just, then there was this, there was the Dana Brooke match. It's the second match in a month for her. That's just like, ugh. And the Dana Brooke match, it's just more of the, putting the blame on Dana. But this is a match, Sasha Banks. Well, I believe technically Alicia Fox has been wrestling longer than, but you wouldn't know that by looking at him.
So I guess the one thing that stood out to me, I suppose, on Raw, was a one-armed Strowman doing a lot of work with the arm. That was indeed injured. I
Yeah.
suppose that's one of those situations where maybe they were like, well, it's not going to get any worse, so just go ahead and do an angle here, and then we'll do the surgery.
Yeah, he did a lot with his other arm. Everything Roman Reigns was, because remember, in the storyline, he's got a separated shoulder, but in real life, he needs elbow surgery. So, and everything Roman Reigns was doing was focused on the
Oh.
shoulder, and he didn't take any real damage to the elbow. It didn't seem, but
Oh,
he's
fair
having surgery
point.
anyway. And yeah, this is something of a bad one. I mean, even if he makes the quickest time possible coming back, he's still missing Extreme Rules.
Oh.
Which he was assuredly going to be in the main event of, and very likely in the main event of July, and maybe even SummerSlam. So yeah, this so yeah so yeah. Depending on he's between the minimum and the maximum time, how long he's out. Yeah, a lot of plans might have to go might have to be thrown out, and some new plans are going to need to be made.
Yeah, I mean that's it's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean this Extreme Rules show is, it was already always going to be a no Brock show. Although who knows if they might change that on the fly here in the next week. Ooh, I don't think any options are off the table here.
Right.
But we've already got a show that's mostly going to be rematches from Payback, so you're not really feeling like you're just seeing most everything from Payback with gimmicks, essentially, which is what Extreme Rules is. And
Right.
then, but you don't have your main event. You don't have Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman and Ambulance Smash or whatever the hell it was going to be. You've got Roman Reigns, who his injuries, I believe, are all storyline. I don't believe he's really banged up or banged up any more than usual for a wrestler or anyone else.
Right.
So, but they've been looking around trying to find a new opponent for him to, quote unquote, main event the show. It's tough, especially to find someone he hasn't had a had or two with rapport.
Oh, yeah. Just because they do burn through feuds somewhat quickly these days, it is tough for these things to happen. And everyone else is kind of tied up. Like, I don't know if you really want to take Finn Bray Wyatt off of Finn Balor right now, or. I don't know. I guess they hadn't really started their feud too much, so technically.
No. They had nothing to do with each other, so maybe they're thinking of moving them away from each other. And, you know, maybe there's a reason Miz and Ambrose is taking place next week and not an Extreme Rules. Or maybe they're going to have go to some kind of non finish leading to a stipulation match between them and the Extreme Rules. You know, that's possible, too. But, yeah. And Roman Reigns is Bray Wyatt. Already had, like, a 6-month feud 2 years ago. So once again, it's been a little while, but I don't know if it's been that long.
But it's on Raw exclusively now, Chris. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I bet. I mean, there's a number of things. You know, again, Yali, you know, you could, you know, move some dates around with Raw. You could, you know, bring Triple H back in the ring. Do some guys from SmackDown if they are making the shows, if they just want to, you know, say here's the lineup. It's only $9.99. You're not canceling. Deal with it.
Yeah, you're not paying $60 for this. You'll deal without Roman Reigns taking on Braun Strowman, and you will like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll come up with something, but I mean, in the interim, and I'm sure that's something that didn't help them at all this week, as far as planning went for this show. So,
I'm fairly certain this is not good for them, especially if he's gonna be out past, you know, WWE Great Balls of Fire in July. So yeah, it's tough, some tough calls are needing to be made. I mean, you know, it's, you know, he's supposed to be out 4 to 8 weeks, and you know, it's touch and go when he'll be cleared, and you know, there's very little chance they'll make it back for Extreme Rules. Maybe they'll roll the dice. I don't think they will. They'll hope that he can be back for Great Balls of Fire, but he doesn't get that second win over Roman Reigns to, you know, put him into contention for Brock in July. But he does have the one win over Roman Reigns. He's generally been dominant, so it's you can still get to Strowman and Lesnar, you know, in July or August, you know, or certainly could get it in August. If,
right.
That's where you want to do it. You know, especially if you don't want to do Reigns and Lesnar anytime soon, if that's your end game for way late, possibly even WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, a rematch at WrestleMania would be something. They didn't really get to finish the match.
Right. we're definitely in post WrestleMania doldrums here. I'm certainly on both shows.
Oh,
and we just have some circumstances making these situations worse.
The shakeup is just kind of settling in to boot.
Yeah.
I guess I feel like they're... Well, I mean, they're integrating everyone in there. I mean, it is kind of amusing that... what's his name? On Raw there. That Dean Ambrose and The Miz both come over from SmackDown. and immediately start a feud on Raw.
Yeah. Just restart their old feud. Yeah, that is pretty amusing. And they did, you know, they were put in the position to carry Raw, and you know, they did fine for what they did. They had some funny interactions. Balor and Miz was fine as a match. Wyatt and Ambrose, you know, okay ish.
Yeah, that's
another one of those way overdone matches over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. So never anything I'll probably ever be excited to see again.
Right. that match was just kind of whatever. Like you said, you have seen it a lot. And not only that, they just didn't really get that much time either. So I don't think that helped at all either.
No. But again, Miz and Ambrose do have good chemistry, so you know whatever they're gonna do with that, you know. So once again, in a largely dull, nothing happening Raw, they provided a few bright spots.
Yeah,
and hopefully their match next week, you know, is pretty good. And whether it's, you know, one and done for the feud, or whether it's, you know, to lead to something more, you know, we shall see.
I'm trying to think of what the. Because, you know, Alexa Bliss got her new bestie. But that really wasn't of much consequence for the time being, other than Nia Jax guaranteeing herself a chance at the women's championship at some juncture.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was played off of all right. I mean, Alexa Bliss obviously sees that, yeah, she has something that she can use to her advantage, although they really didn't play it up. They really didn't. I know that they needed to work Bayley in somehow, but they really didn't need to do that. You know, they didn't need to have already have Bayley out there to counteract Nia Jax and actually, you know, knock her down and essentially stop her from interfering.
Oh. Yeah.
If we want to get over the, they want to get over the, you know, how deadly Nia Jax is in Alexa Bliss's corner, she should have been allowed to do more during the match.
Yeah, because they did make more of a deal out of their friendship than Mickie James, who I guess is a babyface now.
Yeah. She's totally, you know, bouncing Mickie James, and, you know, I mean, match was okay, nothing too special, weird finish.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. Just a punch off the top of the ropes, and then the pin. That was weird. I don't know what they were trying for there, but whatever it was, it didn't work.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Like, if they did finishes like that more consistently, and I felt like they have over time, like, to kind of give you a suddenness of when defeat can happen. But they don't really do that at all. You know, this one just kind of happened, and it just seems out of place. And you know, there are so many other things that people kick out of these days too. You don't really think of a punch slash forearm as something that will get a pinfall.
No, not at all. No. That part didn't work at all. I would like to have seen more out of Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax together.
Oh.
Before we reintroduce Bayley into the picture, or that there's, you know, the babyface has her own friend to counter. Like, soon, maybe at Extreme Rules, Sasha Banks will be in Bayley's corner again. against Alexa Bliss with Nia Jax, you know, that would make sense, but...
Right.
So, yeah, they really, once again, I think they just didn't get over how, you know, that Alexa Bliss is unstoppable with Nia Jax.
Yeah, they just got a weird victory, which doesn't really help anyone. You know, I guess this one match that we were talking about main event-wise, I would not be completely offended with Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins headlining Extreme Rules, to be honest with you. It should be a good match again.
Yo, I have to say, I really like their brawl in the back, but I don't feel that their match followed the same tempo. I think that Seth Rollins wrestling grudge matches like he does any other match, you know, getting his shit in and, you know, playing to the crowd, I think it's starting to become a problem.
Well, I guess that's one of the interesting things. I feel like he's finally getting people behind him. So maybe I haven't really I've overlooked that. Like,
I don't have a problem with their match at Payback. You could definitely have that criticism for the match between Seth Rollins and Triple H at WrestleMania, that Rollins just wasn't fired up enough. But then you know, after they had the brawl, I felt Rollins should be coming out with you know with Hellfire and being a little more gritty, more brawling. And for fuck's sake, will he please stop selling the goddamn game? It's been a month now. It's been over a month now. Can we please stop making his knee the story of all his damn matches?
Well, I'm sure that's not completely his fault.
No, it's not. But it's just...
The match layout certainly, I would think, would fall a little more under his jurisdiction. And I think that it could be tweaked, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, is he cleared or isn't he? You know, that's what sometimes gets to with these working over a body part style matches. It's like, okay, if the appendage is that weak going into the match, then why did he get cleared in the first place?
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about that question in a long time, but I mean, it should be the one question that pops up no matter what.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins are capable of, I mean, and they didn't have a bad match. No, they had a fine match, but once again, I just didn't feel like it had the fire of a grudge match. And I hopefully, you know, they have a match at Extreme Rules that really lives up to, you know, their potential.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I guess the last kind of big feud that I can see on the Raw front here, as we kind of, because I don't feel like we've actually whipped through all of them like this in a while. What do you think about, did you think that there was any chance that, R-Truth and, Goldust were going to get the, tag title shot?
I thought it was possible. I mean, it seemed hot, but they wanted those dastardly heels, Cesaro and Sheamus, to run through the field clean and clean. Yeah. Wow, and then the Hardys came out to fight them after they already beat four teams and were out there for over 20 minutes. What gallant baby faces they are now. Everything was tactically fine with it, even Enzo, but yeah, the psychology of the heels beating everyone clean and then being challenged to a fight by the tag team champions right there, right now after their they were exhausted from doing so. That was kind of silly.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that was the one thing. I'm okay with the misdirection with our Truth and Goldust, because yeah, I mean, they really haven't presented them in any positive light recently. And content wise, they don't add anything backstage that that I would care about. Like, I think that Fandango and Tyler Breeze can just keep on doing the Fashion Files, and just they can stay out of the ring, and I'd probably be okay. But Goldust and R-Truth don't even bring that element of amusement to the table.
No. They really have not. They've done. They're not funny together. They have not been. You know, they try to compare it to the great comedy duos of the past, including Goldust and what he did, you know, long ago with Booker T. But yeah, it's nowhere in that league. It's the current writing. It's the guy's chemistry. It's that R-Truth is a joke, you know, may have been funny for a very small window that has been closed a long time ago. You know, what even is Goldust anymore?
Right.
Yeah. Their whole story, you know, coming together and then getting together and then losing every match for a year. It's just
fun. Yeah.
Remember, they took, I don't know how many, but 2-3 months to put them, for the skits, just to put them together, to have them just start losing it right away.
Oh. Yeah. Again, they haven't been presented in a good light. I don't think ever. Like, as you know, like, they lost, like, right after they had their big get-together. Like, that is not a good look if you want to be taken seriously.
No. Yeah, nothing about it's a good look.
And, you know, that's one thing that, I can't, within that tag team match, Gallows and Anderson, to me, are the only ones that look like real bitches in that situation. Yeah, they're supposed to be tough guys, and they're next to last, and they can't get the job done. Like, that they were toast already when they lost the belts to the Hardys, but they just got tossed in the grave and the dirt's being thrown on top.
Yeah. I mean, right now we're running with Cesaro and Sheamus. Then after that, the Revival should be. Well, by July-ish, so, you know, they'll probably get anything just immediately go there. So, I guess Anderson Gallows are just, you know, they're just in limbo right now. They just have nothing really to sink their teeth into except wrestling Enzo and Cass for the 1,000th time.
Oh... Yeah. Good old Enzo and Cass. They will forever be the bridesmaids at this point, too.
And, yeah, I think guess it just depends on Vince's mood on the day, if he wants Cass to be a singles guy or not. They flirted with it twice already. So, you know, are they committed to these two as a tag team act or not?
Oh, yeah, I mean, again, it does, that definitely doesn't, it seems like we keep on going, future, just because there wasn't anything to talk about, there was no substance to what happened this week, but, yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's an imminent right. thing that's gonna happen, but, it's definitely the biggest issue with their team as a whole. So, and yeah, and
yeah, the biggest issue Enzo Amore is not good in the ring, and it's plainly obvious to everyone. And it's just. And they hide their deficiencies enough to give them a run at the title? Or does Vince see a lot in Big Cass as a single?
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know, is there anything else from Raw that stuck out to you that we haven't gotten to yet?
No, I think
ready to move to SmackDown. Yeah, I don't know why this is jumping out at me first in my mind, but I guess I was feeling much better about their women's segments plural than Raw's. This week, as they've firmly established the welcoming committee is something of a faction, and the need of the three baby faces now at this point on the SmackDown brand to get their shit together.
Yeah, no. It was played off very well. It would make no sense if Charlotte gelled with Becky and Naomi immediately. They had to have a situation where they were, outmaneuvered by a well executed, game plan by a team, so that they, Becky Lynch can be the voice of reason backstage segment to get Charlotte and Naomi on the same page. That was all played very well. I mean, everyone's playing their role very well. I do like the welcoming committee. I think Carmella's been very good. James Ellsworth is still it is pretty funny his role here. His line about the British and their teeth while having whatever is going on with his mouth. That was pretty well played, and that's something that I was actually impressed with the announcers for not ruining that moment by saying, "Well, look at his teeth. What's he talking about?" No, don't need to explain the joke, guys. Good bring out there.
It's okay, guys. We got this. Oh man, yeah. They. They did let that out there, but I guess I like that organization. A bit better. I'm glad that Charlotte is still something of a reluctant babyface at this juncture, as they shouldn't have her cave in right away. And
I don't even know why I was
making a noise. Oh, okay. So, Yeah, it's oh, and Becky Lynch, at least they gave her a reason to try and believe in Charlotte too, which, you know, helps kind of cover her ass for not looking like a complete idiot since Charlotte has stabbed her in the back previously.
Right. So, that's all played really well. You know, they're going with a six-man match, which is fine. You know, yeah, we've established that, you know, Backlash isn't meant to be one of the bigger shows of the year. You know, that's gonna be very clear. So just you can do a non-title match on this one, and you know, regroup to what they're gonna do next with the title.
Well, yeah, and it does make it really odd. I mean, you go from what would have been something of a natural feud of Charlotte coming over, being the heel, and taking on babyface Naomi, to, you know, as soon as Charlotte becomes babyface too, where does Naomi go? I mean, most of those feuds just don't do that well. So,
Yeah,
you know, yeah,
no.
they needed some time.
They'll go to some type of a multi. Yeah, I'm wondering if they'll go to some type of a multi-way for the title next, because there isn't, you know, on that heel side right now, there isn't. I mean, I guess eventually that there has to be one of the matches with this new face heel alignment, but right now, Naomi versus. Certainly, Naomi versus Tamina doesn't do anything for anybody.
Oh.
The Carmella doesn't have the Carmella doesn't have the credit now because he has credibility for a title shot right now. Although she could possibly do a thing where in a multiplayer match backdoor her way into getting the title. That might be an interesting way to play it. But and then there's Natalya, who's always reliable, who you could do Naomi versus Natalya, you know, at a SmackDown pay-per-view, but no, I think they'll run with some sort of multi-way match.
Because they do have a habit of having woman matches after a feud like this. So it wouldn't entirely surprise me if Carmella gets the nod. But you know, again, that's kind of something that's that's being pushed off a little bit even by the WWE. So it'll be interesting to see where they go, because I don't. I guess Natalya might help. might help Naomi in the ring as much as or more than anyone.
Right. Yeah. No. It's kind of that'd be perfectly fine if they go.
Yeah, I guess they, in my opinion, have two choices, not really three. Because, like you said, Tamina doesn't seem like a wise choice. I guess what was the highlight on SmackDown for you since the women popped out at me for whatever reason?
The highlight was the Golden Stick, man. I mean, you know, good match. You know, kind of paid by numbers. WWE booking with three singles views, but it was the man tag. And you know, the match was good. Jinder Mahal obviously needed to win, needed to pin Randy Orton. Yeah, so at least they're trying there. I still don't like that they have Rusev waiting in the wings already. It seems like they're just preparing Jinder Mahal to fail, and they're keep harping on, and, Jinder, they're almost explaining / apologizing for Jinder being in this match. So they're with JBL with the kind of line of it's not a best of seven. So Paul could Randy Orton once. It doesn't mean that Jinder Mahal is better than Randy Orton. It just means he could beat him once.
Oh. Yeah, it's really kind of strange that they are pushing a heel is the, he can just pull this off just once. Like, that's usually the babyface underdog guy can maybe just pull it off once.
Yeah, they usually do that. And for Sami Zayn, my God, that backstage segment. I know we both listened to talking to Jericho. We both, when they have current guys on, they're really talking about Sami Zayn being the dramatic mess when it comes to planning out matches. I get that that's the reputation backstage. It does not have to be. It does not have to be how he portrays him. It does not, and no one could possibly everyone has someone like Sami Zayn was acting in their life, and probably most likely, and you don't really, that person gets on your nerves immediately. That person is not a baby face in your real life.
Yeah, or he's I don't know if I'd call it a reluctant baby face. I always had one person that their stories were so outrageous, I kind of was entertained every time I saw them, even though they were that neurotic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but no, it's no one, you talk person because, he's down to, they're a nice person, in real life, but on TV, no one wants to cheer for a dork like this. It's just really bad stuff there. I mean, if you think he's a dork, if you think he's this, that, or thing, then don't put him in main event.
Oh. Well, and I mean, he definitely has a higher level feud. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I wasn't saying that. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, they've definitely put him in an upper level feud at this point. Because Baron Corbin's been doing... he's been facing some big names, so it puts Zayn in a better position, but and he's getting more mic time, but the character isn't that great, so it's not really really gonna help.
Yeah, no. I mean, one thing on these, so. I mean, I guess AJ Styles out there, you can't say he's the best guy out. He could be the second best guy out there. He's a great wrestler. Obviously, he has a quirky charisma that can connect with the audience. But Quirky takes that left turn towards neurotic, and that's just not a good character.
Right. They're already going that route with him rather than being entertaining, quirky.
Yeah. During that whole, him worried about being fired, shut down, last year or earlier this year. It's not a good character. Once again, it's one of those things where if they're mad at someone for stuff behind the scenes, don't bring it on camera. I mean, they'll never stop doing it. It's been part of their DNA for 20 years now, or so now. But it really needs to stop.
It doesn't do them any favors at all. Because it just hurts their TV product. That's all that it does.
Right. Yeah.
So it just puts a worse product on there than it should. And I'm trying to think of who else was in that. It's Styles and Owens and why am I already forgetting the other feud that is in there? What's the other main event?
Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal.
Oh yeah, we already talked that. Wow, that one. Shit. Okay, never mind. I guess we got all those covered. I was fairly amused with the Usos pulling a nearly babyface promo, trying to get the crowd to chant 12 along with them during their takedown of the aforementioned Fashion Police, Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Am I not getting a response from that?
Yeah, I guess I was kind of blanking out at that point in the show. I'm like, what was the whole 12 thing? I don't even understand the reference.
Oh, it was 12 days until the pay-per-view. So, until...
Oh, that's right. It made so much of a little impact on me that I already... forgot about it. I mean, Fandango and Tyler. I mean, even Tyler didn't really funny. The bash file was pretty good, but the worst. It'd take a long, long, long while for people to start taking them seriously. I mean, it's just a match for the Usos to win before the game goes up. If we can have a little fun, it's fine. It's better than the Ascension.
And that would have been really weird if the Ascension was actually using spray paint to paint their faces. It would really, really not be good for them. Because that's what the Fashion Police found there.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm trying to think of other stuff on SmackDown, but women, main event, picture, tag team. Yeah, I mean, that was really about it.
We did have Dolph Ziggler calling him the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Ziggler, he was just doing a It's exactly what The Miz would have said if he was in this position against McIntyre. It was like a script written for The Miz, but delivered poorly by Dolph. That's what I would call it. What do you say? I haven't drawn any quarter with Dolph Ziggler for a while now, and I'm not going to stop anytime soon. He's just really bad. I don't know if he's just bad or if he just doesn't give a shit anymore, but he is. But it's not good. It's not good what he's done. He has not come off very authentic at all. I mean, but then as a match, it'll be a fine way to introduce, Nakamura in the ring on SmackDown. But man, Ziggler just doesn't. He just doesn't do anything for me.
This is what he's gonna keep on doing for you. You can look forward to that. Any new debuting star will go through Dolph Ziggler at this point.
Back and roll. That is Dolph Ziggler's role right now. But live crowd, of course, obviously very into Nakamura's entrance, coming along and, chanting for Nakamura. Once it started to get physical and Nakamura started doing his MMA ground and pound inspired offense, I thought it lost something. I don't know if that the crowd really knew what he was doing there.
Right.
Nakamura actually was always, even in NXT, he was always awkward in beatdown segments and pull apart brawls, even when he was feuding with Samoa Joe. So this doesn't surprise me that this is just, this part of American wrestling is just not what he's good at.
Oh. Right. Yeah, I guess I didn't pay attention to it, but I know as soon as you mentioned it, I'm like, I know exactly what he's talking about. he does not seem all that comfortable doing it. It's kind of funny with something of an MMA background that he seems awkward in that phase. You would think that he'd be able to,
go ahead, finish the question.
I guess some type of a ground game I would think would translate somewhat better, or at least maybe in a different kind of a way. And it doesn't at all.
Yeah, no. I don't know if that part of MMA just doesn't really fit into pro wrestling, period. I mean, it's just, get someone on the ground and then start striking the knee upward into your opponent. It's just not camera friendly. I think that's the good word for it. It's just not a camera for 10, once again, because you're not really hitting it with your knee. Pulling it, working it. It just doesn't look good on camera.
Right. Yeah. And there really isn't much more to say about that feud, honestly.
That's what it is. None of the criticisms we've had for it, are reflecting badly on Nakamura. In general. Nakamura is crazy over, in Chicago on the 21st, he'd have to have an amazingly horrible match to lose the crowd. He'll Dust Ziggler and, you know, move his way on up the pecking order.
Right. And good for him. And I guess the other thing that we had to talk about were, well, one big injury and one not-so-big injury that we had on the docket. The not-so-big injury, I almost feel kind of bad for Emma having her shoulder injured.
Yeah, I feel bad for her. Yeah, that's the thing, is after all this BS with the Emma Lemelina gimmick, and then going back to Emma, and then more weeks from that, and now injury. I mean, yeah, it sucks for her. She was not in any plan, so it's really not a big loss for the company.
Oh no,
but her more time away. Possibly depending on what the MRI says, and if she requires surgery. Yeah, it's just crappy timing for her. It's never good timing for an injury, really, but actually we'll talk possibly good timing for an injury in a moment, but now, the poor girl, she's really done nothing wrong in the last year to have her stock drop as low as it has.
Yeah, I always am amused when my wife brings up the Walmart incident when when she sees Emma, and I'm like, man, that really wasn't that big a deal.
No.
So we should really let that one go. I'm trying to think of the other injury that in some ways feel bad about, but I kind of agree with you in some other ways. Ember Moon has surgery also on the shoulder, I believe.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Injuries always suck. There's never a good time for them, but it's not the worst timing either.
Right.
We've got really a throwaway takeover coming in a couple of weeks, and she was being a four way with other girls, but it was probably going to either be another loss to Asuka, even if she didn't take, get pinned or submitted, or she was going to win the title in a four-way. So, none of that was good for her. So, she can rest and rehab, and they can make a big push for her going into Brooklyn in August.
It's not necessarily good timing, but just because of the situation they've found themselves, it's good to give her a little bit of time to stew and and maybe I still think she needs to smooth out a little bit in ring and whatnot, so a little extra practice time probably wouldn't kill anyone as she's rehabbing either.
Right. Yeah.
Any final thoughts for the week in wrestling? Now that we've stretched out longer than we thought we did, we would.
Yeah. Once again, not the most exciting week, but we banged out an hour-long show for our fine listeners. Next week should be very interesting. WWE, it's at least on the Raw side of things, because WWE is in a position where they have to rearrange the chessboard in some capacity. And that's, while unfortunate, is also can make for some intrigue. You know, watching them try to figure it out. So I do think that next week will be a much more interesting week.
Yeah, maybe Raw will get their very own Jinder Mahal. At least I hope that that makes sense. Someone out of the blue coming up to contention for Roman Reigns in the stead of Strowman. But I don't have a name in mind, and I was just being a smartass.
It's your... Kurt said, Axel, this is your time, my friend. This is your time.
Well, I don't think we can end on a better note than that. So this is at DeFrango 11. That is at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or whatever listening program you use to get this fine show. And have a good evening, grandkids.
Later.